you inhabit the praises of your people. We thank you for the privilege to be in your presence, to worship you as the family of God. We thank you for the grace to see another year. We thank you for that which you have prepared. Our eyes have not seen this year. Neither has our hearts conceived those things you prepared to reveal in this year. But we thank you that by your Spirit, you cause our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Father, we have come to wait on you. We have not been through this year before. We have come to surrender. We have come to lay down every agenda in our life. Father, to acknowledge that without you, this year will be in vain. So we commit our hearts, our soul, our mind, and our will to your purpose and your plans for 2012. Father, receive us as a living sacrifice, as an offering. Let our lives the rest of this year be an aroma that is pleasant to your nostrils. Receive glory, Lord. Let our lives bring glory to you. Thank you for your presence. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Have your way in our lives tonight. Let our hearts, O God, pray your will on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to continue in a few minutes just to press in as we worship and we pray. But I just want to just share a few things to help us anchor our prayers in unity and in oneness of mind. Amen. Thank you for coming out tonight. There is no greater thing that we can do than to tie just a few days of the year to the Lord for the rest of the year. Amen. When you give God the 10, the head of the year, he will give you the rest of the year. So we are committing this time to the Lord because we have not been this way before. Is that true, Sister Diwali? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The greatest prophecy I found out that we can ever receive is when we believe the promises of God for our lives. In other words, you're believing what God has spoken that cannot change. If you believe it, it's better than when men speak and probably it's not completely 100%. But this word can never fail. So the moment you believe this word, you prophesy to yourself. Amen? And signs and wonders follow those that believe. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. We thank God for all our friends and families that are with us tonight. Amen. Amen. And we pray that you will not leave this place the way you came. Amen. 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 As we have been laying the foundation on what the Lord is calling us to yield to, and to lay the foundation and to give ourselves to be totally carried into this year by the Holy Ghost. The Lord has been dropping different prayer points in our lives. And these prayer points are seeds that we're planting into our destiny in 2012. But the focus, the thread, the focus that we are is to truly walk into sonship. To truly walk into sonship. It is God's ultimate desire for us to manifest sonship. Because the moment we come into realization of sonship, everything that God has destined for us becomes natural. Amen? So that's what started since October, and God is transforming, is translating, and is transfiguring every dimension, spirit, soul, and body of our lives, so that we can come into this year and begin to benefit the fruit of the authority and the faith that comes with the heart of the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8, in the area of sonship, you can see that the Lord says from verse 26, as the Spirit of God helps our infirmity, because we don't know what to pray, he says, all things work together for good, for them that love God, for them that are called, for them that are called according to God's purpose. Amen. For whom God foreknown, he also what did predestinate. And if you look at the whole mystery of God predestinating those he called, is that they come to conformity with the nature of the Son of God. And it says then when we come to that place of sonship, then we can begin to, God will now begin to justify us. And then when we are justified, then we enter into the place of glorification. And then it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Hallelujah. And one of the basic scriptures we've looked at, because I'm just kind of doing a few overview before we come to the prayer point for today. One of the scriptures that we have looked at this week and this season to help us realize the fact that it's very possible that we are born again, but we can live the rest of our life in church without realizing that coming to sonship is what brings us into inheritance. So in Galatians chapter 4, we looked at how Paul, from his own personal experience, was writing to the church in Galatia, telling them that, now I say to you that an heir, as long as he's still a child, is different nothing from a slave, though he is Lord of all. In other words, in some translation, it says almost like a father that has an inheritance. But it says he cannot trust that inheritance to his own son until he comes to a maturity, a full age set by the father. So it says even we are under the rudiments, under the elements of this world, until God sent for his son, born by a woman, born under the law, to redeem those of us under the law. And in verse 7, he says something which is almost the end of why we are seeking God this year, this season. He says, if you are sons, then you are no more slaves. But he says we are slaves as long as we are God's children, but we're still living at the level of just a child in the Lord. Say, but if you are sons, you are no more slaves. You are no more under the rudiments, under the control, under the vices of human nature and human beings. But now, if you're sons, you're no more slaves, but you're an heir. Meaning, you now have the full rights to possess inheritance. Amen? An inheritance, like you know, are not the things that men have, that you earn. Is inheritance are the things that has been prepared for you. It's been destined for you. But you cannot walk in it until you walk into sonship. Amen? Slavery means always striving to achieve rather than dying to striving to walk into what has already been achieved through Christ for you. Amen? So we've been looking at that in prayer, been praying through some different things. And another area we've looked at is some of the characteristics and attributes of sonship that we've been praying into. One of them is faith. Faith has been a thread for the only way we can walk in our destiny. And we looked at the book of James, chapter 2, where it says, if you believe God, even the devils believe God also. It says, show me your faith by your works, and I'll show you my faith by without my works. In other words, God is saying, he says, if somebody comes to you and they're destitute, they need food, and you say, be filled, be warm, and you do not give them the things that are necessary to what they are requesting, he says, what profiteth you? He says, faith without works is dead. And we looked at what that word works means. Faith without obedience is dead. And God was saying, how can you say you have faith when you have no works? Don't you know, obey men, that faith without works is dead? In other words, faith without obedience is dead. So then the end, he says, that just as the body, the physical body, without breath, without the spirit, is dead. So he says, faith without works is dead. And we went through why that word works means obedience. So the Lord started showing us how the level to which you truly obey God is the level to which you have faith in God. So without obedience, the faith is dead. So he's saying, just like the body without the spirit is dead. And we talked about a dead man in casket without the spirit. That man is just dead. So we talked about how some of us are walking in dead faith because there's no action to what we believe. And the Lord was showing us through this week as we're praying. Now, what is faith? Faith is the substance of something you don't see, but the evidence of things you hope for. So when it says faith without works is dead, it means that your obedience corresponds to your faith. So how does that work? You have faith that God is here. You don't see him, but you believe he's here. So that's faith, because now God is a substance to you. But James is saying, the level to which God is a substance by what you don't see is the level to which you obey what he tells you to do. Because if you don't obey what God is telling you to do, how can you say you believe when you don't obey? So we looked at how we cannot really say we have faith if there is no obedience. We cannot really say God exists if that God does not obey what he says. So James is saying, show me your faith by your obedience. Show me how much you really believe in God, that he exists, by your obedience, and I will show you the faith without obedience. So it's a faith without works is dead. So we talked about dead religion. Dead religion is a religion that does not apply faith to anything this God is saying. Amen? So we want to be buildings that have faith, not buildings that are dead. Amen? So we looked at that, and we looked at so many things in that area that totally transformed our lives as we pressed in prayer. And then we looked at another area of sonship that makes a big difference, almost a life and death area, is where we were sharing yesterday how the danger of not inquiring of the Lord. And we shared Judges 20, how people would just already premeditate what they want to do. The children of Israel already had in their mind, okay, Benjamin, you're wrong. You have done something bad. We're going to fight you. They have the power. So they just want to go fight. And they said they sought the counsel of the Lord. And the Lord said, go. And they were defeated by a few people. And they came back again. They went to the house of the Lord and said, God said, go. And we were sharing by revelation how God was telling them go because God knew that they have already made up their mind what they want to do. They just want God to approve it. So we looked at the third time when they came back. Now, after they've been defeated several times, they fasted, they waited, and they said, we are not going until you tell us what to do. And then God says, now you need my opinion. I can tell you and give them strategy, and they won. So we looked at how the last time, the first time they came, sought counsel, but the third time, they inquired of the Lord. And we looked at the life of David, a man who truly inquires of the Lord before he does things. One time David missed the opportunity to do that as really waiting on the Lord. He went to a battle. By the time he came back, his family was gone. And finally, David went back and inquired of the Lord, and the Lord gave him the recovery of all things. So we prayed yesterday into that scripture. Jesus says that his son, the son, S-O-N, can do nothing except what he sees the Father do, except what he hears from the Father. Meaning, Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth is given to me, but I don't just use it to benefit me. I only do what is the will of the Father. So we prayed, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to the point, he says, is there no other way? But he says, I must do your will. And your will is that I must die. Amen? He chose to die, even though he was the Son of God, because that's the will of the Father. Amen? But what really broke me about the place of inquiring is, we can read the scriptures in the New Testament, but sometimes when we look at the physical damage in the natural people, great men of God who did not inquire of the Lord, then we get the weight of what he does. And what broke me is the life of Abraham in the area of inquiring from the Lord. God gave Abraham a promise. Of course, he struggled in his mind many times about the promise because it was taking time for it to come to maturity. Along the process, Abraham wanted his servant to be. God says no. And God told him, okay, it's going to be you, but it's going to come through your loins. So Sarah came to Abraham and told him, if it's going to come through you, then it's not going to come through me because my womb is dying. So I feel I have an idea that it will come through my maid. So they came up with this plan because Abraham, of course, is tired of waiting. So he decided, that sounds good, but he did not inquire. And because he did not inquire, God let him do what is in his heart to do. And by doing that, Ishmael was born. Abraham lived for the next 13 years thinking Ishmael was the child of promise until God visited him when he was 99 years old and told Abraham it was going to come through Sarah. Abraham said, what? Sarah's womb is dead. Let Ishmael. So God showed me how many times we give birth to things and we're already praying for God to bless those things. It's only when we get to heaven we find out many things we've done has nothing to do with God. They are Ishmaels. Ishmael, the work of the flesh, can never bring glory to God. All our righteousness are filthy rags. So that's why it's important to wait upon the Lord and then to inquire of the Lord. That's one attribute that sons have. A slave, don't do that. Amen? So that's why we prayed into that, that God will help us this year. That's why I share that. By the time you look at the end of 2012, going into 2013, you look back, if you really keep the principle of inquiring of the Lord, you see that you are more successful in spiritual warfare, more successful in the things pertaining to 2012 than you were in 2011. And that's the whole thing about growing. Amen? So let's learn to inquire of the Lord in everything we do this year. It's very painful. It's a very difficult thing to wait on the Lord and to inquire. If it's easy, Saul will not have been rejected by God. Amen? So we looked at that. We prayed into that to help us to be more successful 2012 as the sons of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Inquire. To inquire is to wait and pray. Especially in very big decisions. Very, very serious decisions. You never make mistake waiting. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish I can share more about what God showed me about Ishmael. It just for me, because every time I think about it, it really shows you God can let us do our thing if we don't inquire. Because I've always asked, why did you let Abraham? You could have done something to stop it. But Abraham was at a place to whom much is given, much is required. He has a place to, at least before he accepted that maid, say, God, is this Sarah or is this maid? This Sarah is my wife. But he was tired of waiting. He was tired. I've been there many times, amen? And I thank God for grace. Hallelujah. So we are praying for sonship, because when we come to the place of matured sonship, some character of God has been so infused in us that we become like Jesus. It's just something in us. It's impossible to do anything without him, because we're one with him. We just can't do anything else because we now have the heart of his son. Amen. So tonight, we went through just the review of the things we should be praying into to walk truly as sons. Tonight, we want to pray in the area of Isaiah 45. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 45. Thank you, Father. One of the things we must realize about sonship, to be able to be fruitful as a son, as a daughter of the Most High God, we have to realize that there's an anointing that comes with it. It's everything that God has called us to do as God's children. They are impossible in the natural. And that's why God was trying to teach Abraham that lesson. That what the promise I've given to you cannot happen in your strength. It has to be by my anointing. The same thing to Mary. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and this thing shall be by the Holy Ghost. He said to Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 4, he said to Zerubbabel, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. So we always need the anointing of the Lord to fulfill the purposes of the Lord. We can't do it. It's impossible. So when God speaks your destiny into position and you're following God to walk in that sonship, one of the things that you must recognize and you must always pray into is exactly what Jesus did. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Before that time, you will never see any place Jesus did a supernatural work. The work was taking place inside of him. But the time Jesus started doing things visible as supernatural to reveal the kingdom inside of him was, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And because the anointing is upon me. Amen. So he recognized the anointing on his life. This year, we must recognize the anointing in everything we do, which is the Holy Ghost. The Lord led the children of Israel out of Egypt. The first thing, as soon as they came, the Pharaoh told them, all of a sudden, a cloud appeared by day and a fire by night to lead them. This is the reason for the anointing. The Lord spoke clearly to Moses, especially when you inquire of the Lord. 2012, we've never been there before. You've never lived in 2012. You don't know what it looks like. But there are promises for you. But there are also giants in 2012. So the Lord led them out of Egypt. And the Lord specifically, as Moses was inquiring, told him exactly where to go. He heard clearly from the Lord. But where God led him to go does not make sense in the natural. Because A normal human being will say, if you're going to New York, you don't go towards Georgia. You go towards this side. And Moses was going towards this way. So if you have the road map, the natural road map, that's not the road to follow for you to go to Canaan. And God told them to go through the road that evidently he has. Moses knows the wilderness. It is blocked by rocks and then blocked by a sea. You can't go that way to get to the other place. But he had God clearly says, go that way. Because the moment we are born again, the first thing God wants to introduce to us is faith and the supernatural world. Amen? As sons. So, guess what? They went through that part. And of course, the people with their slave mind and their fear, you saw how they reacted at the Red Sea. They were crying for their life. They want to die. They were very angry with Moses. Now, when they saw Pharaoh coming, everything was out of control. But the Lord told Moses, move forward and surrender. Lift up your hands, and today you see the miracle of the Lord. So, as sons, God will lead us sometimes in ways, speak to us, and many times the things he's asking us to do are always like a mountain. And instead of us doubting, is the Lord afraid? God is saying, recognize the anointing, because that's what will make it happen. Not by might, not by power. So they crossed. And you saw through the wilderness the rest. And then we come to the scripture where Joshua said, we've not been this way before. What was the instruction God gave? He told him they should put the ark before. And the people that carried the ark, meaning the glory, the presence, the word, led by the Spirit. The Spirit goes before you. That's why we're going to pray this now. God wanted to make sure that the cloud by day went before the Moses, and he wants to make sure that Joshua, the ark, went before the people. So they learn one lesson. The Lord will always go before you if you're hearing from him. Amen? As long as you have heard from the Lord, he's already there before you. Follow that direction and recognize the anointing. That's what faith does. Amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, to walk with God. Amen? Hallelujah. So the Lord might be leading you to, in 2012, we've not been there. When you inquire, you pray, you really inquire, you know you've received some clue or a vision or something from the Lord, and you wait. Don't let the size of what the Lord is telling you question. Amen. Receive the word of the Lord and then recognize the anointing. Another thing we did a lot through this week was speaking the word, which I can't go into that. That's where we're sitting a lot, about speaking the word. So Isaiah 45 tonight is our prayer point based on where we are. This is the fifth day and we're entering the sixth day, and the seventh day will be concluding our time of consecration. In Isaiah 45, the Lord spoke a man's destiny. Just like tonight he's speaking your destiny. From October, he's been telling us that we need to transition to sonship. He's been calling our name by scriptures into our destiny. So Isaiah 45 here says, thus says the Lord to his what? Anointed. If the Spirit of the Lord is upon you tonight, then you are anointed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. So if God foreknew you and has called you and you're here today, you can put your name where it says Cyrus. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, Walter. Thus says the Lord. Sometimes when you hear that word, it's not. To his anointed means the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. When Mary was pregnant with Jesus, you all remember Mary. Anywhere Mary went, Jesus went. Amen? Mary carried God inside of him everywhere he went. So by faith, we must recognize the anointing goes with us wherever we go this year. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have what? Holding. So our first prayer tonight is, Lord, because of your anointing upon me, carry me into 2012. Hold my hands. Hold my hands. Lift my hands. Sustain my hands. Whose right hands have holding, have strengthened, to what? Subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee. You see that? It's a promise God has given. It's also in Romans 13. God says, I will go. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will go before thee, and I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee water by name, am the God of Israel. Amen? Which call thee, Bomati, by name. God is saying, I'm your God. So what does the anointing accomplish in our lives when we acknowledge it? If Jesus will, why not we? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We have to say it and pray it until we know without a doubt that is upon us. Because he has anointed us. The oil of destiny is upon you as you're here today. And because of that, God has made a covenant with you that as far as your destiny is concerned, it will lift your hands. It will hold your hands. And that's our prayer. And he will loose the loins of kings to open. He will loose the loins of kings to open before him two leaf gates. He's talking about favor. The same way God gave Joseph favor with Pharaoh. The same way he gave Daniel favor with Nebuchadnezzar. The way he gave favor with Mordecai, with Esther. That's what he's saying. I will loose the loins of people in high places to recognize my oil upon your head. To cause them to open up to you, to God. Amen? They'll recognize God. Like Pharaoh recognized Joseph. Like they were all recognized that they have a different spirit upon them. I will loose before you the loins of kings, and they will open these gates, and the gates shall remain open. So as we pray tonight, we are going to pray that the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord, will go into 2012 before us. Amen? To prepare the men and women of destiny he's arranged for us to walk with in 2012. And one of my prayers, I don't say that here, but I pray that everything that God has not destined for me to connect with in 2012 shall be eliminated. Because it's a waste of time. You might end up with an Ishmael because you don't pray this prayer. So that way, you know, through 2012, the Lord will order your step. Now, he says, I'll pray again. You're getting the prayer point. He says, I will go before thee. I'm sharing this because when we start praying now, this is the word of God. It's not the word of man. So you pray. You believe it. I will go before thee. So God is making a covenant with me that he is going into 2012 before me. It's a guarantee. And I'm agreeing. I will go before thee, and I will make the crooked path straight. Amen? God will remove every crooked thing from your paths. And I will break in pieces the gates of brass. Says the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. This is a metaphor. The gates of brass was the gate of Babylon. It was the most fortified gate. It was a security. Says, I will break asunder every gate of hell that will stand before you. Every opposition. I will break it. I will cut asunder the bars of iron. He's talking about pride to the highest level. The pride of men can give men such, they think they are God. And the same thing here is talking about souls. The bars of iron, when people are chained by bars of iron, they cannot come out. So he's saying here, I will go before you. I will set your children free. I will set those captives free. People that are in bars, they cannot come out of the jail. I will cut it, that jail asunder, and I will bring them out. So that's why Cyrus made a decree for Israel to be released out of the chains, the irons of Babylon. And they were released. He fulfilled that call. And then, the one we like most as human beings, I will go before thee and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Wealth transfer. In other words, I will give you the hidden riches of secret places. Meaning, there are wealth all over this nation. There are wealth all over the world that people have stored in banks. But God says, I will make you inherit it. Because you are going to fulfill my purpose. He did not want, he says, I will give you the labors of the wicked. The wealth, they are banking it, but God says, because there's a scripture that says that God will give to the righteous the wealth of the wicked. But here he's saying, because of the anointing upon you, when you recognize it in 2012, that God will open doors and cause things that are unexpected resources from unexpected sources to help you fulfill the needs of your life and the call of God on you. Amen. It's called inheritance. Amen. Those are our prayer points tonight as we are pressing towards the sonship mindset. Are you ready to pray? The worship team will help us a little bit as we press in. You can just pray, walk around, kneel, do whatever, and then later we'll come together and seal this time of prayer. Amen. So let's stand and I'll begin and just commit this time to the Lord. And as the Lord leads you, you pray the scriptures into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.